From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rad Boys and Girls on a stressful week for Eric. Maybe I'll tell you later. I'm at the base of Tatry Mountains over in the little town of Poprad in eastern Slovakia. Lee's over there in the UK, Lee Banks. And Mark Gander, he's the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group. He's over there in Paris as well, Gay Paris. With his poorly teeth. And I'm coming straight to you, Mark, because this is a story that you found. And I just thank you for this because it made me laugh when I saw it.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, really, I don't know if it's sort of some mothers do have them or it couldn't happen to something or other, but you've got here three guys going about their honest business, burgling, doing a bit of burglary on the side, as you have to do, suddenly the owner of the house returns. Mr. Singh realizes what's going on. And I think he then started to barricade them in and called all the neighbours. And you have a very angry crowd gathering around outside. And the three burglars inside got so worried about it, so frightened about it, they thought they were going to get lynched, and they decided to call the police and ask for help.
I love it. I just love it a bit.
It's lovely, yeah.
It is absolutely. Well, congratulations to Mr. Singh. And I'm just wondering what the police guy would have been like at the other end. Hello, my name's Lee Banks. I'm robbing Mark Gander's house. Can I please have a policeman now, please?
Like an escort.
Yeah.
That's right. The only thing is, if you went to burgle Mark's house, you'd have to take some stuff with you.
Yes. Yeah, what, you mean like a 6-foot stuffed shark?
Now that'd be on guard duty outside.
Would it?
I got bitten by a shark once, but that's another story for another
program. You get lost! It's Eric!
Right, over to Mr. Banks for this one, because Mr. Banks has put on the script how David Cameron proved this week he's running scared of the banks.
Yeah, right. I think that's a fair comment.
Why?
Well, Project Merlin, that's not exactly going to cast any spells across the British economy, is it?
No.
What's he done? I think, if I put it in simple terms, the banking industry is built on arrogance and incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
And Cameron has given them a sop to carry on in the future. If you think he said that he's going to give them a new levy, they're going to have to pay more money back into the country mm-hmm. that lent them the money to get us out of trouble, which they've not managed to do. Mm-hmm. But he's actually left them to continue giving themselves massive bonuses, even though they're going down a little bit. £8 million bonus. I wonder what that went down for.
Hang on. Whoa. Mm. Which bank was that?
Sure that? Oh, that was Honest Barclays, isn't it? The one that's just been fined twice by the FSA for misleading and ripping off its own customers. That was definitely worth £8 million.
Hang on, we've got to balance this a little bit, because the Barclays Bank didn't take any money from, other than the FSA that you just mentioned, Mark. They didn't actually have investment money put into them like other banks during
They ended up taking help from Dubai instead, actually.
Well, exactly.
They wanted to avoid being controlled by the British government, so they preferred to be controlled by the government of Dubai. I'm not quite sure what happens there if the Egypt revolution spread that far. But anyway,
yes.
The simple fact is that Cameron has done a smokescreen job of satisfying the bankers while pretending to satisfy the proletariat.
Let me try and bring this down to a certain Eric level, which I know is small and normally is, but and I'm not sure about the first fact, because I'm pretty sure that a big chunk of the UK's GDP actually comes from the financial sector, but I don't know how much of the GDP, gross domestic product, boys and girls, that is coming from the financial sector. But I am sure, I am very, very sure that in UK terms, that's a huge chunk of money. Huge chunk of money.
Of course it is, Eric, but there is a point you have to make while you're saying that.
Go on.
That, yes, they bring a lot of money into our country. Mm-hmm. They actually contribute very highly to. But you have to remember, it's not their money that they're raising the capital on. So give us a bit. It's our money.
No, it's not all your money. Some of it is and some of it isn't.
Well, if even part of it is my money, by George, that remains my money. But the simple fact is, all we're saying is that, all I'm saying is that Cameron has done a deal with the bankers, which really hasn't penalised them at all.
Taxes.
Well, I mean, it's certainly true to say that, I mean, we do need a successful banking industry. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And as much as I hate to say it, having sort of set up and be running the Consumer Action Group, you know, we're not actually against a successful banking industry and a profitable banking industry. We just really think that they could maybe run their business in a more moral and more humane way. There seem to be a lot of victims.
That's really nice of you to say that.
Hang on. Okay, let me put this into... Let's take it out of context for a minute. Right. We've now got a corner shop. Okay, Lee? Got a corner shop.
Yes.
And you're the boss. And in walks this unbelievable... No, it'd have to be Eric who's the boss, because otherwise it'd be a smelly Eric. Anyway, whichever way round it was, we'll put some other people in the shop. And in walks the most awfully bad-mouthed customer.
Oh, no.
It's all right. We're still there. We're still there, Mark. The most unbelievably foul-mouthed customer you could ever imagine. All right? The most foul-mouthed ever. But the problem is he brings in nearly 50% of your business. Okay, now, if that's the case, do you just sort of say to this big arrogant bloke, "Bugger off out of my shop, lad! I never want to see you again"? Or do you carry on?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yep.
Do you carry on servicing this customer, or do you just ditch him?
Well, my business brain says very simply that you carry on servicing this customer, if you forgive the euphonology there, and until you find another one who can replace it. Then you can't kick the big, fat, smelly person out.
So you can't kick the banks out and kick it, or even get to the point where they might just move out?
No, I agree with you. Eric, it doesn't happen very often, but I do agree with you, and I agree with Mark. We need to show sympathy towards the banks. I think they've had such a bad press, all these bankers, that we now need to show them in a different light.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that RTI should do something now, that we should stand up and be counted, and we should launch today, Bankers Indeed.
Yes. Bless.
Get all the donations right made out to Banksy at RTIFM.
Yeah, right.
And I'm just setting up the new account. Yes. And by the way, financial sector GDP is 15% of UK GDP.
That's a lot.
It's not that big.
It's a lot of money, and it's significant.
That's a significant number.
Think how much more our money they've got.
Well, not in proportionally, no.
I reckon our money's more than 15%. No. I bet they've got more than their gross product is more. Our money's more than 15% of that.
No.
Well, they got more than 15% of my money, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good job I've got no money, because it wouldn't be
like... They ain't got any of mine now, that's for sure. No, but the fact is, if the sector's 15%, of GDP, that's a huge chunk of money on the transfers. And
yeah, but why do you want a disreputable business to be one of the most successful businesses in Britain? That's why they should be being looked at.
What are you going to replace them with? Manufacturing?
Honesty. People who are honest.
Yes. I know what we'll do. We'll put journalists in charge of the country, shall we?
If you had...
Oh, let's not go there.
If you had an £8 million bonus, Eric...
Yeah.
Would you bother to carry on working? Obviously, I've had enough now.
No, I'd carry on. I'll be after £8 million next year as well.
Yeah, that's the problem, you see. Greed. These people got themselves in trouble and got the world in trouble at the same time, but they still want their 8, 4 million, 2 million, 1.4 million pound bonuses. They still want those bonuses. Yeah. Come what may, and no matter whose money they're playing with.
Right.
If I had my 8 million, I think I'd stop and I'd go off travelling.
Would you?
Yes.
I think I'd get bored.
Well, then, yeah. Then I'd come back, but I think to begin with...
I might take at least a two-day haul. Two-day haul. Well, I can't say it. That word.
If I had 8 mil...
Yeah, the Eric speech.
It's a word... It's where you don't go to work. It's a haul.
A hole.
Holy something.
Dear.
I can't say
either now. Holly!
I have to sing the Madonna song.
Holiday?
Yes, the one. Yeah, but I can't say the words. I don't do holiday. I don't do them. Seriously.
Well, no, it's because you're poor. Same as me. I've not had a holiday for years.
Have you not?
Decades.
I think I've had four in my life.
I think, yeah, but you, Mark, you live like in Paris, don't you? That's like being on holiday, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, I mean, France, it seems to be holiday after holiday. It's just quite amazing. I don't understand why they're such an unhappy bunch of people.
hang on, gents, can I just interrupt for a second? Siri, sorry.
What?
There's just some breaking news just flashed across my screen. That's incredible. I can't believe this.
What?
What's that?
Breaking news. Breaking news just coming through now. Wait for a second. That's it. Blinking, eh? The hide-and-seek champion of the world has been found inside a wardrobe!
Brilliant.
Yes.
You heard it from RTI.
Yes. I sometimes have a wish that this was all connected, this next story, because it might have avoided a Banks being born. The court has banned a man from sex because his IQ is too low.
Yes.
I wonder what he'd do if he was sitting here with us lot.
I think to be
what? To be disappeared again? To go away again? The entire programme is like that today, where half a second you're there, half a second you've gone again. Are you still there, Mark? Have I lost everybody again? There's a problem with the connection, right. It says, and everybody goes away, then they come back again. I just don't...
Am I here? Am I back?
You are now.
Yeah, you are back.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was just about to say that, to be perfectly honest, what a sad story, and I wish we knew a lot more about this.
Eric, let me tell you what I think to this story, right? I was going to just pursue it as a straightforward story, but I've been having to think about it. You know what? I don't trust this story.
Because?
I think you're
right. Because if this story is absolutely true, if this has been reported properly as it should be, this should be the splash story, I use that word advisedly, in every national newspaper in the land. It should be a globally international story. The British judicial system has the right to sell somebody that they can no longer have sex. That is Nazism. It's absolute greatest.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Seriously, Lee, because I'm a bit suspect of all this.
Yeah.
Go and have a look at this story.
I've had a look. I've looked at it. It has been published, but nobody's pursued it properly.
Exactly. So what's the problem with the story, then?
Because if a country bans... If you think the way the international press reacts to horrendous stories coming from other countries, like, i.e. the stoning of women and things like that, quite rightly, the strength of objection and protest against that is phenomenal. Well, if a country is going to be able to ban a bloke, and his major crime was that he said he made lewd remarks to some young girls in a dentist waiting room. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not defending him. He shouldn't do that. He's absolutely right. But the penalty for that crime is that you will never have sex again, unless, like the judge says, you are alone in your room, which I think is pretty despicable. This story should be the biggest story in the world.
Unless there's something wrong with it.
Let's understand that. I mean, this poor man who's got a very, very sort of low IQ has actually, and 41 years old apparently, has been living with somebody for quite a number of years.
14 years he's had a relationship.
And you're quite right, Lee. There's not much reported about this, but two quotes that have come out consistently in the reports are one, that he said that he would like his relationship to continue because it makes him feel happy. And the second thing, he's apparently he has asked a message to be passed to the judge to say that He wants to kiss again, or he wants to kiss them again. I mean, this is simply a man who at least wants his affection. And if that's the way he finds his affection, in some relationship which is not sort of politically dominating or politically unfair to him or to the other party, then what on earth could be wrong with it?
Nothing.
You're right. We need to know more about this.
Absolutely.
Story. And the way it's reported is really a bit unkind.
I'll make a promise, right? I will check this story out next week and I'll come
good
back
man.
To you.
Okay,
Friday.
Fantastic. Good man. That's the right thing to do. Let's move along to the BBC. It's the Auntie Beeb is controversially spending £877 million to move people from London to other parts of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. £750 million?
It seems so, yeah.
Yep. Amazing.
Just for relocation costs?
Would seem so, yes. Oh, my word.
You know what it struck me?
I'm going to get into so much trouble for this. In the 1970s, Radio 1...
Neither Martin and me were born.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Which ties in quite nicely, because they're all saying off with their heads on Radio 1 as well. Idiots. This is a process that goes on all the time since commercial radio started. What happens is, quite simply, the BBC does some adventurous programmes, it does great things, it makes people laugh, it entertains the troops, as it were, and it becomes popular.
Mm.
Very, very popular as it goes, probably because it's doing the right thing. In comes the commercial sector, goes, oh, we're losing advertising because the BBC is stealing all of our viewers or our listeners. Yeah, so? What does that prove? It proves you're doing it badly. Then they complain to government and go, we can't make enough money anymore and we can't pay the licence fees. You'll have to put them down because we can't make any money. And we're like the bankers, we can't make any money. And this is what happens. They negotiate at the flipping time of the licence renewal and you get all these ludicrous things put in place to keep government happy, so the BBC's left alone. Leave it alone!
Is this regionalising? This is the same as regionalising programmes, isn't it?
No.
It's like additionising the BBC.
Kind of. Ish.
Well, there you have it. So that's the same as regionalising it as
well.
No,
because regionalising it, I don't complain about. In fact, I'd really welcome that. I think that's a great idea.
I think it is. It is. But it's like having loads of local newspapers, isn't it? And that's
But what's the point? BBC Radio 5 Live, okay? Mm. It's a sports station. It's a political talk station. Now, pardon me. And as much as I do like Manchester, there's no ready point because Parliament's down in London. Most of the biggest sporting things are down in London.
Exactly.
It's going to cost a fortune to run this thing from up north to down south because it's just a stupid position to be put in. You know, initially they're going to move BBC Sport and Five Live. Congratulations, you've just screwed the money up. Unbelievable. And that's just to keep some nerd-led politicians happy who won't leave it alone or have to fiddle and fanny about with everything just because, my commercial friends are in trouble again and I can't make any money. And then maybe my boys won't pay me any money anymore. Well, that's tough. Hello, welcome to the real world. If the BBC are doing it right and getting bigger audiences, then the commercial sector should jump up to their standard, not devalue the BBC and take it down to the junk of commercial radio.
I agree. You know what else? What they should have done is spent that £877 million on buying themselves some new records. The BBC has the worst playlist that's ever existed. They have three records. They have Phil Collins, Wet, 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 and Daniel O'Donnell.
Now, that was on local radio?
Yes, regionalised radio.
Local radio. But, of course, in France, it's all very different, isn't it, Mark?
You are.
It's all different in France, though, isn't it?
Well, I really never listen to radio here, but I have to say, compared to the BBC, I find it very, very, very dull.
Yes.
And the only sort of Radio 4 that they have here is something called France Culture, which is France Culture, mm-hmm. which seems to be sort of, I don't know if anybody remembers years and years and years ago, a program called the Brains Trust, where a load of sort of eggheads used to sort of sit around and discussing philosophical questions. And that's basically what it seems to be here, mm-hmm. you know, produced for about, probably listened by about 20 people and costing a huge amount of money from Absolutely. The French radio budget. Mm-hmm. French attitude to radio is really quite different. And it's all exactly like their newspaper situation, for instance. It's fragmented. Yep. In France, there are 235 local newspapers, so nobody's really reading the same thing or thinking the same thing, and exactly the same really with their radio stations. And one great thing about things like Radio 4 is it's a tremendous unifier. It's a great point of contact, and I think it keeps a sense of community which they don't have in France.
Yeah, it's a funny thing in France, isn't it?
Having got lost on all that one, we'll have to move on a bit, because we're not going to make our list today. But one that connects into this incredibly well, and we're at where are we?
I don't have a list anymore. No, I burnt it.
I'm not surprised. We're at the bottom of page six, boys. Radio Caroline to be legalised is the headline, following an early day motion. I'm not so sure who's the best person to explain this, because it's not me. I understand it, but it's quite complicated. Has been signed by dozens of MPs asking Ofcom to find a frequency for the good old offshore radio station, which was never a pirate, called Radio Caroline to use. Now, the campaign's really taken off because the BBC television, the regional television of the BBC, are actually reporting this. And Roger Day, who works for the BBC now, was on there as well, talking about the good old days of Radio Caroline. And it looks like there's a bunch of MPs. Does anybody fully understand an early day motion? What do you mean, yes? Well, then explain it.
Well, I thought Mark was going to explain it, so I said yes.
I have to say, it's one of the things I've heard so much about and I talk much about, and I don't really understand exactly what it is. So this is about maybe the first time that I've actually put on the mat and asked to explain it, and I don't know.
Well,
I think this has been the loveliest show we've ever done.
Oh, sure.
It has been so totally chaotic. And nobody knows.
Lovely show or lumpy show?
Lumpy, probably. All right.
Because we don't know what we're talking about.
Right. The synopsis of it. Yeah, the synopsis of an early day motion. Is it's where a bunch of MPs find a bit of spare time within Parliament, and if enough people sign it, it can actually get on to being asked in question in Parliament, and the voting can take place, and it can lead to all sorts of wonderful things going on. Very rarely does it produce anything worthwhile, but sometimes it can, and it looks like radio, there's this whole bunch of people are getting behind Radio Caroline, the offshore station, actually having a frequency across the UK. The trouble is, it's going to be medium wave.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Medium
yes.
wave?
Yes.
But hang on, I thought all of analogue was being abolished tomorrow.
So did I.
Well, not tomorrow, no.
Well, not tomorrow, yeah, but in a bit they are, yeah.
But maybe
so
10 years.
How's that happen, Eric? That's fascinating to me, because, you know, I've got all these old radios that are supposed to never work again. Well, I'll be able to listen to Radio Caroline, won't I?
It will only be a low-powered frequency, from what I understand.
Oh, well, so you won't be able to get it where you are anyway.
No, so...
Oh, now, hang on, you're in Manchester, aren't you?
Ish.
Who?
You.
I'm in Manchester as much as I'm in the UK, yes.
Yeah, I know, but you've got £750 million heading up towards you.
From the BBC.
No.
Very good. But apparently the whole of the South East will get it, but there's some negotiations going on with France to see if, because the frequency currently belongs to them, and to see if Radio Caroline can have it and use it.
Frequency belongs to them?
Yeah. It's allocated to France. What?
Very medium, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. That's the way French are. Yeah.
What do you mean? They do, Mark.
I don't understand. I mean, if it won't reach from England to France, then what does it matter if they own it?
Well, it would reach from England to France, but it wouldn't get to. In fact, you'd probably get it in Paris, but Lee probably wouldn't get it where he is.
Well, I'm in the Midlands. I wouldn't get it.
No. Topography would probably. You'd get it at night time. But then this is starting to sound...
That's how my life's always been.
It's starting to sound way too anoraki for me. but anyway, we wish Radio Caroline and its fan groups and all the rest of it all the best of British luck for that, especially being it's the French. Although, having said that, the French are very, very positive towards Radio Caroline, so you never know your luck.
It's because it sounds female.
Yes. Leeds going to rant on for a couple of minutes, that's it, about how our newspapers will save the world today.
I'm not, Eric, because I've lost my notes, and also I don't trust that story either. I'll tell you the reason why. There was a certain newspaper, I'm naming no reason not to name it, it's the Daily Mail, claimed yesterday, that or 2 days ago, that they had changed the face of Great Britain. They'd got, what's it called, when you clamp a car on private ground, they got that banned.
Yeah,
they got the police keeping your DNA if you've not done anything wrong banned, and they got something else banned. And I'm going through it. Then I checked it out, and I thought, hang on, Daily Mail, you know that I love you, that you are a paper that I adored working on, but everybody else has been campaigning for this as well.
Exactly.
And also, you made exactly the same claim, Daily Mail, in 2010 and 2009. And the Daily Mail said that today these new laws would be passed. Right? Banning these things. I ain't seen any new laws being passed. No. I hold my hands up. If I am misrepresenting the Daily Mail, I will apologise if I've got it wrong. But where are these new laws being changed? And why were they changed 3 years ago before you suddenly decided to say that through a campaign carried out by the Daily Mail, we have changed the face of Britain? That is when journalism, I think, is at its greatest.
Yes. Right. Well, apparently, added to that, there's a new campaign underway that, if it succeeds, will see an end to free advertising for newspapers in the UK. The campaign.
I think you've got this wrong as well.
No. The campaign, which was apparently kicked off following an email to the BBC's news channel, is asking regulators to outlaw free advertising of newspapers on TV and radio. The main thrust is that TV and radio stations will be allowed to reference newspapers in news bulletins. However, they will no longer be able to be allowed to air the kind of what the papers say, that kind of style. And in particular, any review should only take place with those who are in no way connected to the newspaper, outlawing the present situation where a senior newspaper figure comes onto television or radio to review his or her own newspapers. And I have to say, brilliant.
Absolute. Poppycock.
Why?
Well, I have to say that if the situation is that that figures are reviewing their own media, sort of under the guise of doing it through some independent source, then I have to say that I don't like that practice very much at all.
Standard. It's absolutely standard.
It's very standard. But it's a bit like placement, isn't it? It's a bit like placement of sort
it's
of Coca-Cola or Marlboro cigarettes.
It's like
film.
Product placement.
Why?
There is very simply,
it's intended to have the same
fact
effect.
Is that newspapers actually analyse themselves publicly and are invited to do that. We don't have a grand right to go on the BBC or Sky News or anybody else to talk about our own product. We're actually invited on there to discuss what the newspapers are talking about that day. That's how influential important newspapers are.
No, and I think that's the whole point.
That is ludicrous. It is ludicrous.
I'd love to see that go through. Yes.
It won't go through. This is tantamount to banning sex life as well. That's the kind of ridiculous, ludicrous, overblown stupidity that the British court system has.
On that happy note, boys and girls, we'll say goodbye from Postcard from Pop Press. Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye.
Lee.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.